Welcome to episode 45 and the third time we try to do this damn intro, the Just Keep Spinning podcast, where we just keep going and going no matter what. My name is Andrea, or what else do people know me as?
Drea, Andy.
Yeah, whatever.
Jaya.
My name is Mommy Jaya. And I'm also here with, of course,
I'm Andrew. I only have one name. Andrew.
No, you have another moniker, and it's that you sometimes people call you Drew.
Yes, but most time Andrew is what I go by.
So I apologize for the big loud uproar at the beginning there, but Andrew said that I don't, it's not a negative thing, but what did you say?
I just told you to sound a little more enthusiastic when you do the intro.
Okay, so how do I usually sound?
You sound very monotone.
Welcome to episode, I'm like, hey, a few people told me I sound like NPR, so they're probably like, bitch, you're putting me to sleep. No, nothing against NPR. I'm just saying. They're just like, you have a very NPR voice. I'm like, okay. Which is, well, really, really quick. I've told this story a few times, but when I was younger, my Nina said that I had a really deep voice. So Nina is like my godmother. And she used to do this impression of me. And do you know the impression I'm talking about?
No.
So basically, she said, basically when she'd be tell me hi, or she'd be like, oh, hi, Mija, whatever. And I'd be like, hi, Nina. Because my voice was so deep. So, but I've always been really self-conscious about my voice. But if you were to like ever call the place where I work at, you would never know it's me because I have my
CSR voice.
Have you ever heard it before?
Yes, I heard your CSR voice.
Yes, I'm not going to do it on here, but I do have another voice. But anyhow, again, this is the 45th episode, and we've been with you guys officially for a year on what date?
June 9th is our official year of doing this, of producing this podcast and doing all this stuff.
Yeah, it sounds weird when we say producing.
Well, it's not necessarily, we're not producers, but I mean, then at the same time, we are.
We are, but we aren't. I hate like putting like assigning myself or us, not just me, and making us sound like we're like super like,
well, you even say we're just producing it as in like anything like you would think about work for with production, like we're just doing this for a year. We've been doing this for a year.
We've been dedicated and committed for a year. We've had a few weeks off here and there, of course, for the holidays and then other stuff that was going on in life that was really crazy. Obviously, you guys, some of you know what we're talking about, and some of you vaguely know because you do listen to the podcast. But really quick, our email, if you want to say you love us, you hate us, you want to send us some beats, you want to be a guest on the show, you want to suggest guests, it's justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. Our IG, where we get a lot of activity in DM, would be justkeepspinningpodcast. And something that we don't promote enough, and I don't know why, and every time I'm like, damn, why don't I mention it? It's our Mixcloud, where we do have mixes up on there. And what is the Mixcloud, Andrew?
It's Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Also, you can find us on Facebook.
Okay, you told me it was Just Keep Spinning.
It's Just Keep Spinning. I'm sorry. But you can find us on Facebook. Just Keep Spinning Podcast as one word. Just Keep Skinning.
Just Keep Spinning Podcast is just one word you said, right?
And I believe we have Twitter, too. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but I know we have
one.
And
I'm sure if you've listened, you probably know all the promises we've made and we haven't followed through, which I'll get to later. But with as far as the Facebook, I do promise to be more dedicated and committed. It's just hard to because, I mean, I'm just one of those people where I hate having my picture taken.
Yes, Drea hates having her picture taken.
Yeah, and it's just like I have to, which I'll get in later again, because this episode is kind of going to be just general episode of us talking about basically how this whole year has affected us. But
wait, before we move on, JKS_podcast is the Twitter, @JKS.
And are you actually going to be tweeting on there?
Will be tweeting on there, or if you want to tweet us something, please feel free. Some people think Twitter is a different form of communication, so if you want to tell us that we suck or want to show us something that we should listen to, feel free.
Are you going to tweet, or just tweet, delete?
I will tweet. I don't know what the difference is, but okay.
I'm just saying, you're going to be one of those people where you like tweet something and you're like, man, I shouldn't have said that. I'm getting a lot of hate. I'm going to delete it now.
No, I will always stand by what I say.
He's like, I stand by all my hate.
All my hate, all my anger towards different music that I dislike.
Oh, God. He's all, I'm very judgmental.
I'm very opinionated. That's the right word.
He's like, whoa, bro. Don't call me judgmental. Okay, he's not judgmental. I'm just joking. But anyhow, let me get into a few events that I wanted to highlight here really quick. So the first event is with our friend, Mr. Julian French. He's on Instagram. His at is Jules Quimby. And Julian is a really fucking awesome DJ. And if you ask him, he's like, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's actually really good.
Yeah, so, you know, if he will be out at downtown Easy Wilderness.
Yeah, so on Friday, June 14th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Julian will be DJing at Arizona Wilderness, which is at 201 East Roosevelt Street in downtown Phoenix. And the tagline that he used, and it's in collaboration with Zia Records, the tagline that he used that I thought was super awesome, and you would totally get it if you followed him, it's Catastrophic Grooves, which I thought was totally cool.
Yes, because Julian loves his kitties.
Loves his kittens, yes. And the second event I want to highlight is actually in Tucson. So there's been a new IG that I saw pop up. So I do follow the Instagram Lower Arizona. It's, I believe, at Lower_Arizona. And they post a lot of, you know, as we always, I think we've mentioned it before, how we just feel like Tucson has much more of a community than Phoenix. Like, they're a little bit more tight-knit and stuff like that when it comes to any type of aspect of community. But anyhow, so that's how I located this other Instagram, which is called the Vatos Locos Social Club. So it's at Vatos Locos Social Club, I believe. That's the Instagram. And obviously, we post the pictures up, so you'll be able to, you know, we'll tag them and you'll be able to click on it and see them from there. So they're having an event, and it's, like I said, it's Lower Arizona Presents the Vatos Locos Social Club, and it's going to be a hip hop, funk, cumbia, and soul night. And it's from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., 21 and over only. So leave the babies at home. Don't bring your babies. Don't bring your badass teenage kids. You shouldn't even be hanging out with teenagers, especially if you're not related to them, if you're 21 and over. This is for all the adults, okay? And the featured DJ is DJ Fat Soul, who we've always wanted to interview, but I've talked to him here and there, and he has really cool and interesting stuff he actually posts on Facebook. He has amazing content. You can learn so much. It's like you can get a whole history lesson by following him. So it's at Thunder Canyon Brewery, and the address is 220 East Broadway Boulevard in Tucson. So totally go check that out. I wish we could check that out. That's actually this. I don't think I mentioned that it's this Saturday, did I, on the 15th?
Yeah, I think you did.
I don't know, but if I didn't, yeah, I did or I didn't.
I don't know, but either way, it's now mentioned.
I'm putting it out there in the universe. So I totally wish we could make that. We probably won't, but if someone does go, please let us know how it went. I'm like super bummed that we're not going to be able to go.
Yeah, real life happens for us, and so we can't make all the events that we mentioned, but we try to make the events best we can, and that one is obviously in Tucson. We're located in Phoenix, so it's a little bit of a trek for us.
Exactly. So, Andrew, have you had any pickups lately?
No. We did get something from one of the antique stores around here. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, we were trying to remember very hardly. Like, we're really thinking, and we're like, we don't even know what the hell we bought. I know it was, for sure. I think it was an LP.
Yeah, I don't remember.
So that's the thing, though. So obviously, Andrew's been in record jail, and I honestly think one of the only reasons he's been able to mostly stay in record jail, that way you bought some records that you have not picked up yet. Yeah. I just remembered right now.
I did buy some records, but I can't say they're pickups until I have them in my hands.
Oh, gosh. Mr. Technicality.
Technicality, yes, it is.
Were you charged for them? Did you pay for them?
I did pay for them, and I'm planning on picking them up hopefully sometime this week, but I have not picked them up, so I'm saving those for next week.
All right. Well, besides that, I think it's the reason why it's a little bit easier for Andrew to be in record jail is because we live so far from all the record stores. So he can't just, like before, because we live so close to everything, it was so convenient for on a weekday for us to be like, we'd come home from work and our daughter would get everything done, and we'd look at the time, and we're like, yeah, Coco's open for another hour, you know, an hour and a half at Grand Avenue Records. Let's just go mosey down there, because we pretty much almost lived down the street, in a sense.
That's about a mile away from us.
Yeah, so it was easy for us to just, like, zoom over there and pick some stuff up, because you can always find something in there. And now we don't have the privilege of doing that anymore, so it has definitely affected us. And like I said before, it makes me sad, like, digging around, even if I don't have anything specifically I'm looking for. Because to me, when you're... So do you think when you're looking for something specifically, do you feel like... Do you find more things, do you think, or how do you view it?
I think when I'm looking for something specifically, I have a tendency not to buy anything else because I'm looking for that specific thing. So I kind of get tunnel vision, and when I'm digging,
I'm shaking my head, and Andrew's giving me like the crazy eyes because he thinks I'm looking at a ghost. In the kitchen.
Like, what are you looking at right now? I'm like, is there something over there? Am I missing something?
He's like, the cuckoo's over there. Well, go on.
No, and I kind of get tunnel vision when it comes to certain things, but I try, even when we just go digging around, I try to look for other things, but I don't find anything that piques my interest, and sometimes I'm not even looking for anything in particular, just like, I'm like, oh, well, this looks kind of cool, but I don't want to spend that much money on it, or it has to be something that really, really, like, that really, really interests me for me to purchase it, pretty much, if I'm out, unless it's like a, you know, dollar records, then it's different.
So, I think Andrew's a liar because he, even when he's looking for something specifically, he finds something else. Or Andrew's the type where he has pretty decent like record karma. So he'll find something, but then he'll find like four or five other things at the same time. And he tells himself that he deserves it. He just buys it. Like,
I never tell myself I deserve it.
Come on, Panda.
The only things I have a tendency to find are the numeral group comps, the eccentric souls. I did find one, and I did put it back one time, so I can't say that I get it every time, but I have had luck with those eccentric souls.
He's like, have good luck with them, and I put them back. I don't put them back, except for one time I did.
Except for
like,
one
so
time.
So what does that tell you? You get them every time.
Well, you know.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
When you find them here locally, and they're used, and they're not, you know... $25 to $30.
They're a lot more cost effective.
Yeah, it's a lot more cost effective. So when I do find them, I like to purchase them.
Yeah, so being in record jail sucks. And I feel like the same for me. Like, it's easier for me to tell myself no. I feel like it is. But sometimes, too, it's because when Andrew finds something that he's looking for, it's usually something that's, I don't think rare is the right word, but like when he finds it in the wild, it's just not something as common that you would find here. So it's kind of one of those that's like, I have to cop it. I can't leave it, because then what's going to happen is I'm going to go back.
And it's going to be gone.
And it's going to be gone. So I can see why sometimes when we're out, it seems like he's just hogging, you know, all the whatever our budget is for.
Hogging the funds.
Hogging the funds. And I... sometimes I'll just be like, you know, it's okay, I'll wait. And but yeah, so we've been in, like we said, Andrew's been in record jail, and due to our location, it's been a lot easier for him. And but like I said, we've stayed, I think, like the last two episodes, we're going to be out there digging a little bit more. I feel like we're going to do a little bit of digging this weekend at least, and let you guys know if we found anything cool, or if we seen anything neat. There's a new record shop out there that I think we've already mentioned on here, on Indian School.
Yeah, so I heard it's like a punk. I hear it's like a more of like a punk eccentric shop, but so, I'm not really sure. But if we do go out and dig around, we'll be sure to post. And if you guys want to come out and say hi, be sure to come say hi.
Yeah, exactly. Because all the pretty much almost my keyword there, almost every record store is filled with friendly faces.
Yes.
And awesome people. So for sure, if you see us digging out, or if you see like we post for somewhere and you go just by coincidence or whatever, and we still happen to be there, please say hi. We actually got a response back from the email that we had read a few episodes ago to our buddy, our friend. I'm like, I didn't want to, you know, mention their identity again. So,
but yeah, we were super excited to
we'll
see.
We'll just call him the number one stunner.
Yeah, the number one stunner. The number one West Side stunner.
The number one stunner. So, which was really neat. So it was really awesome. And he gave us actually some feedback that he felt like he wanted stuff to incorporate into the podcast. So those are the type of things you can also email us to, and that we'll definitely be taking those into consideration and incorporating them. So like I said, you know, we have no clue who most of you are, and we would love to know who you guys are, but we're just not exactly sure. Another place like you can usually meet up with us at if you're not sure, you know, like, hey, where are they going to be? So we have our residency at Ground Control, and we're going to be a little bit better about posting about that and stuff like that. Our Saturday got changed. It's like every other Saturday. But every first Friday, the Crate Creepers, which is the record club I'm in, who also has their own Mixed Cloud, which is just Crate Creepers, one word. Every first Friday, we are at Palabras Bookstore, and we're playing. And there, we actually played this last first Friday, and it was a really awesome event. I've seen some pretty decent turnouts there, but this was probably, would you say it was one of the best ones that we've had?
Yeah, it was a really, really good turnout. There was a benefit for someone who had recently passed, the artist. I can't remember his name right now.
Jake.
So it was a really, really good turnout. It was different types of music. Obviously, Craig Creepers played at the beginning, and then they had some beat makers.
No, so the second person was actually someone who listens to the podcast as well. It was Cody Blackwater. Cody Blackwater,
which is a beat maker, yes?
Yes, he was a beat maker.
They have a beat maker, and then Hector, I forget, his music, style of music is like...
Hector Luis.
Yeah, I can't really describe his type of music. What would you describe it as?
Like experimental, kind of like experimental hip hop sort of thing.
Yeah, it was really, really, it was really neat to see him like actually do it with his like his board and like his effects pedal with his microphones. It was really interesting to see that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Andrew was feeling a little bit under the weather because he's pretty much usually if one of us is playing somewhere. Like, it's just one and not the other plane. We're both there. So, you know, like I said, come and say hi. But Andrew was feeling a little bit under the weather towards the end of the night, so we had to leave. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see an illustrated mess, but I did look at the videos online, and that looked awesome, too. So I kind of hope we do another similar event like that again at Palabras, that they organize it. And, of course, thank you so much to Palabras and to Chawa, the owner, who still, the Palabras bookstore has their Indiegogo up if you're interested in donating and contributing to that. Their Instagram is Palabras_bookstore, I believe. And, of course, to Mr. Slim for also helping put everything together and contacting everybody. So thank you, both of you, for providing an amazing space for the community. And like I said again, shout out to Cody, because I've talked to him on Instagram, like under my personal profile and stuff like that. And I think we've talked to him on the podcast one a little bit. And I've been following him for a while. And I saw that he made beats. So then when I saw that he was at the event on the bookstore, I was really, really excited because I was like, oh, I'm finally going to get to meet him, because he kind of lives, you know, a little bit of ways out, definitely far from where we live here. So it was really cool to see him in action doing his thing, and definitely give him a follow that way. I don't know. You can see his cool beats because he posts them up on there. And I look forward to hopefully doing future events with him and the other people that were there that day. So like I said, thanks to Palabras and Andrew.
So... Excuse me, I'm still a little sick. Well, I have like this weird, like, I don't want to say because it's kind of gross, but like this weird thing with like the, you know, allergy stuff. So I have like a weird cough thing.
You sound like, remember in Ferris Bueller when he had that keyboard and it had all like the sick sounds? That's what it sounds like you're doing right now.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm making a Ferris Bueller cough, because it's a real cough. I'm not big coughing.
Ferris Bueller cough.
So for our top 10 Billboard on this day in music, we decided, obviously, since it's been a year, we decided to do this on this day a year ago, what the number, you know, the top 10 and the Hot 100 were. So starting at number 10, Ariana Grande, No Tears Left to Cry.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Bebe Rexha and Florida Georgia Line, Meant to Be.
Remember, I was just talking about that song a few episodes ago because I was saying that song got to chart both on the country and the top 40.
Oh, that's right. And I know that song. I'm trying to
come in full circle, right?
Yep. Number 8, Ella Mai.
Ella Mai. Boot Up.
Yeah, Boot Up. I don't know that song. I'm sure I know it. I just don't know it.
When we were at the Ken's BYOV event, it was played there.
Number 7, Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin. I like it.
Yeah, which has a badass sample. Go on.
Yes, it does. Little Baby and Drake, Yes Indeed. Zed, Morin, Morris, and Gray, The Middle. I don't even know who.
Yes, you do. You've heard that song. It's just like one of those generic, all Zed songs sound the same, and he makes almost none of them, but go on.
Number 4, Childish Gambino, This Is America. Number 3, Drake, God's Plan. Number 2, Post Malone and Ty Dolla Sign, Psycho.
Whoa, Post. It sounds like you said P-U-S-S. Post Malone.
No, I said Post.
Post. Enunciate, honey. Enunciate, baby.
Post Malone. Psycho was the song. And then number 1 was Drake, Nice for What.
Nice for What?
Yeah, that was
the number. How does that song go again?
I have no idea, but let's see. I can try to play it on here real quick. It's loading because this.
Do you have the? Did you do the albums as well? The 200.
I did not do the Hot 200 for this, so I will do the Hot 200 or the top Billboard 100, 200, whatever it is. Give me just a moment.
So, did you see the whole thing that happened with DJ Khaled?
I did not.
Okay, so he released his album "Father of Assad," and
he really loves his son.
Oh, I didn't even know he had a son. I thought that was just like a fake album title, but I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, are you serious right now?
He looked at me right now like I had 3 heads. He was like, he's like, girl, I'm about to press stop and edit that shit out. So he released his album, Father of Assad, and it did not go number 1. It made number 2. And the album that they determined that beat him and was number 1 is Igor by Tyler, the Creator. So anyhow, there's some controversy and drama. So DJ Khaled is actually suing Billboard to basically be retroactively crowned the number 1 spot. So what happened was there was basically Tyler, the Creator, and DJ Khaled were neck and neck. Okay. So DJ Khaled's, I guess, basis for suing Billboard for the number 1 is he said, hey, I had a partnership with, I believe it was an energy drink. I can't remember if it was with Monster, if the actual energy drink was with Monster, but there was like a third party involved. So the third party was basically like, anytime somebody sells, do you know what an MLM is, Andrew?
Multi-level
marketing.
Yeah.
So something like, if you don't know what that is, it's something like Cutco, which Andrew sold when he was 18.
I did sell. Yeah, I did.
They got his ass.
They definitely got my ass.
But we still have, I think, like 1 or 2 Cutco knives.
We still cut like a fucking dream.
Chill out. The foot has full tang.
You're not doing this right now. Okay. Go on with the story.
So anyhow, it's like Cutco, LuLaRoe, Herbalife, It Works, and all that. All those things are considered.
It works? Is that something? What works? The fuck is that?
You don't know about that?
Oh, I'm looking it up right now.
And then there's like the pearl ones that the people do, that where they get these clams that supposedly have pearls and they do pearl parties.
They're clams?
Yes, I'm not joking. They're oysters, excuse me.
The oysters?
Yeah, so anyhow.
Keto. Oh, it's a keto thing.
What is the it works.
Okay, it's keto.
Okay, so the multi-level marketing, and Mary Kay is one, but like the more, I feel like the old school MLMs, like Tupperware. I say Tupperware, like it's a T-U-P-P-A. I'm always telling you to enunciate and to correctly pronounce things, and here I am mispronouncing that. So it's Tupperware, excuse me, sorry. Mary Kay, Avon, those are like the OGs of like the MLM. Do you remember, was it Princess? Like the crystal stuff?
I don't remember that.
So anyhow, those were like the OG MLMs. But the newer based ones, Amway's another big one that's still around. Basically, these are things where it's like you have to buy and buy and buy and buy and that's the incentive to reward yourself. It's like an adult version of, you know, when you went to school and you would get those catalogs and they would encourage you to like go door to door or like have your parent take it to work and it has like chocolates and shit in it.
Overpriced chocolates and shit.
Yeah. And it's like, buy all this so you can get this kazoo. If you sell like $1,500 worth of things, you get a kazoo. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can buy this bag of jelly beans for $17.
Yes. And then you, like, that doesn't even dent, like, to get a reward, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, essentially, that's what MLMs or multi-level marketings are for adults. That's what I say. So anyhow, somehow this energy drink bundle for the album was connected to like this third party MLM. So they were encouraging, the company was encouraging the people that were invested in the MLM. So basically the people that were supposed to be like shilling the products to do wholesale orders and to, you know, order big things because they really wanted to basically make sure that whatever deal that they had with DJ Khaled was beneficial and profitable to him. And obviously him having a number one album looks good for him. He gets to brag. He gets to kind of put it, you know, as a footnote and put it in his Wikipedia and go on his damn social media and brag about it. So anyhow, there was 100,000 of these bundles sold. So basically, if you bought the energy drink, it counted towards an album sale, which I think is kind of weird, but it's not new concept. That's been happening a lot lately, these whole bundles. Like they do bundles of you buy a ticket to an artist concert and that counts towards an album sale. And personally, I think stuff like that is really annoying and it's cheating. I think that it's silly. I know we've been talking a lot about Billboard lately, but it's really something. I don't know. There's just been a lot of controversy with it. And it's just really hard to say sometimes because it's like one of those, like, I don't want to be stuck in the past because I know there needs to be new standards and new ways to count things. But on the same token, it's like, do we really want to go down that route though? Because then they come up with these absurd things like DJ Khaled with his energy drink. There's been like, you buy this pair of socks from the artist and this sock comes with a free download of the album. And it's like, come on now. Like, that's silly. I feel like I wouldn't be as apprehensive as counting bundles and things if it was basically like you are actually purchasing the music and then you get a coupon for the merch. To me, that would make a little bit more sense, even though I know that almost seems like the same thing. But
well, question. So if you have like a download card when you buy like an LP, does that count as an album sale, like two album sales, I wonder?
No. I don't believe so. Anyhow, DJ Khaled and Tyler, the Creator, were neck and neck as far as sales go. So the tiebreaker was basically to see if they could count anything else. And Billboard determined that the 100K energy drink bundles, the 100,000 energy drinks that were sold, would not count towards an album sale. Therefore, crowning Tyler, the Creator, the number one, and DJ Khaled, number two. And I don't know. I think it's fair to me. I guess if it was like a rightful thing and he physically stood out on a street corner and sold 100,000 energy drinks and said, hey, anybody who buys one of these energy drinks to me, you get a free album, then I would probably be a little bit more lenient. But to me, this shit is just getting so ridiculous. And I know Billboard is in the process of reviewing and changing the rules, but they won't be enacted until next year.
You know, if DJ Khaled just sold It Works instead of Monster Energy Drink, I'm sure he would have done really well. So the top 10 on this day last year.
This is the Billboard 200,
yes,
for the albums.
J. Cole, KOD, number 9. Greatest Showman, the soundtrack. Number 8, Juice WRLD, Goodbye and Good Riddance. Number 7, Little Baby, Harder Than Ever. Number 6, BTS, Love Yourself, colon tear. Tear.
Colon tear.
Holy shit. There's a colon and it says tear. God damn it, I'm stopping it right now.
It's an actual colon, right?
Yeah, actual
then
colon.
You don't say the colon.
I'm stopping.
It's a pod.
And we're back. Dre cannot stop laughing about me saying colon tear.
So I can clarify again, I'm sorry. So it's like the name, and then there's a colon, and it says tear, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I believe that just means like, you know, a colon implies like a kind of like a short pause, because a period is like more of like a justified hard ending. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, a short pause between a colon.
What?
I'm just moving on because this just goes like this go for a long time.
This is a family friendly podcast, bro. Stop.
If there's any children who got really in the car and listened to that, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Number five, Cardi B, Invasion of Privacy. Although if you do listen to Cardi B in the car, it's just as bad.
You're so judgmental. There's some good songs on Invasion
Cardi B,
of Privacy.
Yeah, there's a lot of good songs on that.
You talk about tearing colons and being privacy, need to move on.
Number four, ASAP Rocky Testing. Number three, Pusha T Daytona. Number two, Post Malone, Beer Bongs and Bentleys.
Beer Bongs and Bentleys and Beer Pongs. I don't know.
Beer Bongs.
I'm going to go back and listen. So you can be like, see, I was right. I said Beer Bongs. Go on.
And number one, Shawn Mendes, who sounds like he makes the same exact song over and over again.
I get him and Charlie Puth mixed up.
I didn't know there was another person who sounded like him, to be completely
honest.
Yeah,
they're very similar dudes. So. But yeah, those were the top 10 albums a year ago. And just before, I went on that whole rant about DJ Khaled and Tyler, the Creator. There was those were the top 10 songs a year ago. It feels like even long when you read back what the Billboard songs were, it feels like even longer because I feel like time... I know as you get older, time does feel like it goes by quicker because you just always have so much going on. But it just feels like I feel like we've mentioned it before, how people don't appreciate like the moments in music and the time, how before like an artist or whatever would release an album and you would appreciate like what they would call like the era of that album. But now it's like someone will drop something and then like a month later, it's considered old.
Well, that's what, you know, unfortunately, digital media has not allowed full albums to flourish. A year ago, if you say like you released an album a year ago, like you said, that album is old. That Cardi B album, it's old. No one listens. Does anybody listen to that album anymore? Is she still releasing singles off it, or she's already working on a new album to release if she hasn't already? Back, let's say, in the early 2000s, late 90s, if you released an album, you'd ride that wave for like a year or two, depending on what kind of artist you were.
Well, not that long ago, because when Katy Perry released Teenage Dream, she milked that, and almost every song on that album became a single. And when you think about it, I think it definitely was still charting a year after it was released. But it's just like even now, and that was, I don't even know, when did Teenage Dream come out? I can't remember.
Let me look it up. But
that was like was that 2011? Because I want to say like 09, but that seems too, when I think of the time frame, I'm like, I don't know, I think that's too old. I think it was like 2011, 2012.
July 23rd, 2010.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yes.
So how many singles?
Oh, actually, that was when the album was released? Yes. August 24th, 2010. So still 2010. But you look about it in that way.
Okay.
But in 2010, other than iTunes, was there like a big digital media? Like there was no such thing as streaming media, was there?
I mean, yeah, because it wasn't Spotify around then?
I feel like Spotify wasn't around. Or it was like in its early, early stages.
Andrew's looking this up to fact check me. Or us.
Oh man, it's gonna be a second because now I have to look. Because all I see is like sign up for Spotify, and it's like no, I don't want to.
Well, I remember Amazon
launched in 2008.
See, that's what I'm saying. I remember Spotify was around. I mean, there was forms of digital media because there was things like MP3.com. You could stream. I mean, I think MySpace is already like phased out almost by then. But I remember even before like you could stream stuff on MySpace. I mean, big streaming, I get what you're saying, wasn't a thing, like streaming whole albums yet. Like, it wasn't, I feel like for smaller artists, it was a thing, but not for more mainstream artists. This is where, to me, where the more indie artists were ahead of the curve as opposed to the mainstream.
Yeah. So it was about 2011, 2012 when like mainstream streaming stuff came out. That's
did you use the service to stream prior to, because we use Google Play for music, streaming.
Yeah. So and before we used Spotify.
Mm-hmm, we used Spotify, and I feel like we used Pandora. That was probably one of the big first ones.
So yeah, Pandora was, for me was internet. It was internet radio. That's what it was beforehand. And I think Spotify was very similar until like the, I guess let me see. It in 2015 is when like the first Spotify song had over 5 million streams. That was Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud.
Ed Sheeran. I'm just saying, I'm just helping
out. But that's what I mean. Like I think that, well, I guess you could say when streaming media came into the mainstream, like basically they built it into every device and made it really accessible. That's when it changed.
I'm sorry. You know what I'm
thinking about? I don't know what you're thinking about, and I kind of don't want to know. I don't know.
I don't know. It just popped in my head again. But anyhow, Spotify, Andrew and I remember, well, we used Pandora, and then remember we used Spotify, and then we've been for years now using the Google Play because it actually just, the catalog on Google Play is larger than iTunes from what I was told. And then now obviously there's all these other ones and there's Spotify. I know Rhapsody Music. Could you stream music on there?
I think it was just a purchase site at the time, but I
can't.
And
then Amazon. I remember you could only, I think, hear clips. You can like download actual music, like download the albums, but you could listen to clips, but it wasn't like a full like listening streaming thing.
Let me see.
But that's why we, obviously, the podcast is about music, but, our, you know, there's that focus on records. And that's why we feel like the records allow you to enjoy it and really take in the album or the song or the artist more. There's, like, a deeper appreciation for it because there's a little bit of labor involved in it, especially if you personally go around digging. You know, if you're someone the type that invests in your equipment and things like that, it's just, there's something really special about a tangible physical copy of something. It's just like, I don't know. Like I said before, we definitely use streaming. And when there's times where it feels like I'm not playing records as much, I do get a little bummed out. I feel like it's just part of a process for me. Something that contributes to me feeling happy is digging around and playing records.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing that what we always talk about is tangible media, like Drea said. And I think it's really important for people to really pick something up because even though you may basically can listen to everything on pretty much anything, excuse me, it's just a different experience, and it's so much more personal to me, at least.
So since this is the anniversary episode and it's been a year, what are some things that you feel like you've learned from doing this podcast for a year?
For me personally, mm-hmm. Be consistent. Consistency is a big thing with this podcast. With our breaks, because we had like personal stuff going on, it really hurt. I feel like it hurt us in a different way, unfortunately. But I think that we are getting back into the groove of things. And it's going to only keep going. What about you?
Honestly, I've learned a lot. I feel like some things I just shouldn't say on mic because they're just things that are very specific to like the podcast, but are also personal just from people that we've encountered. Like we said before, I think it was our New Year's episode that we did at the end of the year that I actually did get a lot of positive feedback on that one. In regards to how we felt about how the community was here, basically that there was none and that there was just a lot of bullshit. Like there was a lot of positive, but then there's just all that bullshit that comes along with it. And like I said on that episode, which someone told me that it was absolutely true, you know, what this is all about, the podcast and Andrew and I, before we ever knew each other existed, individually, Andrew and I were into music on our own terms, whatever. We didn't even know each other. And then we kind of came together because of music, and our relationship continued, and it just was always a big part of our lives in an individual sense, and in, I guess, kind of like as a couple. So to me, you know, we just both in, on an individual level, not even together. We just love music. So we like meeting people that are into music. And with doing the podcast, sometimes people, even though, like I said, the platform that we have, it's not like we have the biggest platform ever. We're not one of those ginormal podcasts out there that, like, you can tell someone, like, hey, the Joe Rogan podcast. Even if you don't listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, you know it exists. You might know a thing or two that's happened on there because people talk about them and things like that. But there's people that will want to connect with us because they're like, oh, well, you're the podcast people. So, you know, I want you to do me this favor. And that kind of stuff is hard to deal with. I'm pretty good, I feel like, at reading people and detecting how people are, because sometimes people can want to be perceived a certain way, but they're really not that way. But I'm just like, you know, if you're about the music, then I'm about you. Honestly, that's from my point of view, my perspective.
Yeah, you know, like Dre had said, if you're really, really into music and are about it, then we'll be able to, we'll understand you, and we'll vibe with you. If you're not really into music and you're just using music as a, I don't know what you would use, as a lane to get in with people who are into music to better.
Because you're a clout chaser, honestly.
Because you're a clout chaser, or you're trying to benefit off of everybody and take advantage of people, then, you know, I just, you know, kind of sort of just fuck you, because you're the fucking problem in this community. We put ourselves out there. We work hard. We do this every week. Well, we are now back doing this every week. We play music consistently. We try to post to social media. It's a lot of work for anybody. So, you know, and there's people who want you to do stuff on top of everything that you're already doing to benefit them and not benefit the community.
Not just that, but then there's people, because like we said before, there's a time and place to ask for money, and there's a time and place to do stuff for free. But then you'll notice there's always going to be them people that want you to do everything for free. But it's like they're making tons of money off of your back and what you're doing. And, you know, that's really frustrating, because you can walk away from it, and a lot of people don't understand. They're like, well, why would you walk away from something? It's like, why am I going to keep putting like my passion, my energy, my time away from my home, from my daughter, from my dogs and stuff like that into for nothing, essentially? Because it's not even like the community is benefiting from something like that, because they're not, it's only one person's pocket.
Exactly. What's funny is that something popped up on my phone on the R Phoenix thread on Reddit, and it was local DJs about how bar owners in different places don't want to pay you, but they're going to pay you in exposure. Like, you know, but this is really good exposure for you to come out.
It was like a time hop. Oh, you said it was. I'm sorry.
On Reddit.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and I was just reading through some of the comments, and you know, pretty much everyone's saying a lot of the stuff. But, and you know, there was one guy who said, you know, exposure is good, but it's bad at the same time. You don't mind doing it, and sometimes you'll play for free as long as most people are upfront and they don't try to sell you on the fact that it's exposure, then that's fine. If they're like, hey, I can't pay you for doing this, but you know, do you want to come and do this? You know, if you're throwing down, if was set with some really well-known DJs, yeah, you would really want to do that, because it's not only going to be a good time, it's, you're going to probably be sitting there with some people who really know a lot about music and are really passionate about music. So in reality, it's kind of beneficial for you, not necessarily them, because you're going to actually get to talk to these people and understand them and really, really appreciate what they do.
Exactly. So it's like, especially if you're out playing, like I said, we don't consider ourselves DJs. We say that all the time. Just because you drop a needle on a record and you're in a public space does not make you a DJ, in my opinion. Like, if you want to call yourself a DJ, I don't care. That's your prerogative. But personally, we do not call ourselves DJs, because from my, and I'll say my perspective and then I'll let you jump in and say yours, just because I don't want to speak for the both of us. Cause even though we're together, I don't want people to think like everything that I say represents you or vice versa. You know, you have your own opinion and your own mind and stuff like that. So like I said, just cause you drop a needle on a record in public does not make you a DJ. You need to put time in, you need to put the effort, you need to be out there and be a student of it. Even if you're the type where, you know what, you want to just go on YouTube and look stuff up and how to do stuff, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Someone's not saying that you need to ride off the coattails in the back of somebody and connect with some well-known DJ and be like, you need to teach me this. It's like, you know, if you have a passion for it, then do it. And I highly encourage you to do that. And if people want to talk shit because you learn your skills, how to do it off YouTube, and they thought you were dope before they knew that about you, well, fuck them. Because you know what? You're doing what you can do, and you only can do so much. Like, I know what it's like to come from an area where it seems like there's not much of that going on. So you don't have the privilege, you know, of living somewhere where you have access to, like, turntables and all this other stuff. But I will say, you know, we don't call ourselves DJs, but you know, I have so much respect for all the actual DJs out there and even the people that are out there just doing their thing, having fun.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree more with what Drea said. If you're out there, if you're figuring out your own way of doing it, by all means, figure it out, whether it be YouTube or, you know, just teaching yourself, get out there and do it. But don't, you know, if you're trying to do it and people are talking shit on you, I mean, whatever, just do you and do whatever you can. You know, they're quote DJs. Oh, most DJs are a dime a dozen. Everyone's becoming a DJ here and there. That's why we don't consider ourselves DJs.
I mean, we just don't have the skills to call
ourselves DJs. Not only do we not have the skills to call ourselves DJs, it's just not something that we want to go by because that's not what we are. Because this is more of a passion for us and we enjoy playing music for people and sharing music. Usually DJs are career DJs. That's what they do for a living. And we really do, that's not what we do for a living. We have jobs.
Well, I don't think you need to do it for a living.
Well, necessarily, but
you see people like Dayla and stuff like that. Yeah. And Dayla's an actual DJ.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, but what I'm saying is that Dayla's, you know, she's on a different level. Like, we're more of a hobbyist.
Yes, I think that's a perfect way to put it. We're a hobbyist. Would I like to be a better track selector? Yes, I'm not going to lie, but I do have a lot going on. And it's sometimes hard for me to dedicate myself to it because I do have other endeavors like this going on, the podcast. And a big part of what makes me happy as a person is helping other people. So if I, you know, spend a little bit more time on this and I spend less time on doing, you know, my stuff for the track selector stuff that we do, then I'm happy with that because I've met tons of people like Blanca, who is 50% of the rec room event at the Nile with Ken. So Ken's one part of it and Blanca's the other. So she actually came out to Palabras, and then her and a few, you know, other people that I've talked to, they said that they've learned, or not, I don't want to say learned because we don't teach them, but they just got a little bit more savvy or picked up on some stuff through listening for the podcast. And that is totally obviously the point of this. The point of this isn't for us to be e-famous or make money or anything like that. It's because we really truly do believe that even though we've encountered some stupid shit in our own community, that, you know, there is a lot of good people out there that deserve so much success, and there's not enough people out there kind of like wanting to put others on. And I know people who work under the guise of that, like Andrew said, that they're about community, want to put others on, but they're really not. And it's just really sad. So, you know, could I be a better track selector? Yes. But sometimes I don't spend as much time on that because we'd rather be doing this.
Exactly. So, you know, when you come out to our events, we practice as much as we can. We put this podcast on. We have lives. We have full-time jobs. We have 4 dogs and a 13-year-old daughter. So we are pretty busy folks. And we do as best I think that our track selection, at least our selection of music we're playing, has gotten significantly better from when we first started doing it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, you know, I see a lot of other podcasts kind of local with very similar concepts popping up. And I think that's awesome. So there's this podcast that we listen to called The Sneak Diss. And we've mentioned it before on here. It's basically, it's a podcast based out of Phoenix and or the Phoenix metro area, because they don't, one of the people, they don't actually live in proper Phoenix, but it's about record culture. It's about sneaker culture. So I know you're probably thinking like sneakers, like how long have they had their podcast?
They've been going for 3 years, I believe.
Yeah, it's crazy. They've been going for 3 years, and there's George and Greg, and they basically go back and forth. And I don't know, even if to me you're not interested in sneakers, you can still listen to that podcast, because what they do is just so amazing and great. But one of the things that Greg says, when we popped up, I thought we were the first sneaker podcast, and that's wasn't true. Probably after we were around for X amount of time, he's like, other podcasts that are pretty much the same concept start popping up. And he's like, I thought that was cool. Like, there's room for everybody. But I believe that what we're doing, I just really believe in what we're doing, basically. So there's no need to compare us to other podcasts. And he's like, do I see some similarities sometimes? Sure. He's all, I see things. He's all, but, it's whatever. Because I believe in what we're doing and what we're putting forth, and that we're really being dedicated and putting the heart and soul into what we're providing for others.
He also says that they are the best sneaker podcast.
Yeah, he says that.
And I think that we are the best record podcast, based out of Arizona, at least.
Arizona Record Podcast?
Arizona Record Podcast. And if there is another one out there, that's cool. I'm glad you're doing your thing. But, we're better.
Not just that, but let us know. Maybe we can do a collab or something.
Yeah, we might want to collab, but... we feel like what we're doing, what we're providing, is different than what we're the other people. But yeah, we have seen other podcasts popping up, kind of doing very, if they're not doing the exact format, very, very similar format than what we're doing. Maybe it's not about records, but it's about music, and we're incorporating music with records, and they may just be doing music, doing the same exact thing we're doing.
And they could be completely unaware of us, honestly.
Yeah, and they might have a lot more money than we do.
Yeah, some of them do have a lot more money and connections than we do. So, but the stuff like that, and it's always interesting. It doesn't scare me or make me mad. It just makes me more motivated to be better. To continue to be better. Because, we've learned a lot. I'm sure if I went back and listened to the beginning episodes, I'd be cringing so hard. Even now, I try not to do things, but sometimes it's so hard, not to do them. And we just basically try to be informative and try to be friendly and warm and I don't want to call us ambassadors, because I'd rather say ambassador than gatekeeper, because I ain't no gatekeeper.
Yeah, we've run into plenty of those motherfuckers. During this year, these gatekeepers, and you guys all can suck.
Yeah, can suck. Can suck a colon.
Suck a colon.
A torn colon. No, but okay, so, but with that being said, we really appreciate, truly, and I know we say this on almost every episode, but I do not mean this in any small way. I mean this in such a huge, ginormous way. This podcast has been such a huge part of our lives, and it was weird not recording for those few weeks, and I did feel kind of bummed out because of that too. So I just like doing this. How about you, Andrew? Do you like doing it?
I like doing this. I like talking to the people we talk to, because some of the people we've talked to and interviewed, we had no idea who they were. We knew nothing about them, and getting to know them and recording, literally recording our conversation like while we were getting to know them was something. It's just an experience, and we will continue doing that. I promise. We've talked about a lot of stuff, and we haven't been able to do it because we've been busy, but I promise you we'll be having interviews probably this next month. Like, we're going to be hitting it really, really hard, going back to Sundays pretty soon here, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so like I said, we're very grateful and thankful for everything, and we're going to, we are not going to try to stay consistent. We are going to stay consistent, not just things on that we promise on here, but also delivering the content that we feel like you guys deserve to hear, and continue seeking out people that we feel are such a positive forces in the community, because Not going to lie, if you go back and look at one of the more beginning episodes, there's an interview that we did. And if you go look and you're like, that's not there anymore, but something else is there. And if you listen, you'll know why. We don't want to be giving a platform to people that we feel like are highly irresponsible and actually are not about their community. And they're just trying to exploit their community. I understand everybody's got to eat and keep the lights on. I've always said that numerous amount of times. But it comes to the point to where it's certain things just become very obvious. So I don't want to continue to like feed a negative, monstrous thing. I'd rather be giving a platform to people that I know are, you know, got the same vibe and energy that I feel like if you listen to this and you connect with them, that I know for sure that they're just going to be good, genuine person. Go back. If you haven't listened to any of the interviews, please go back and listen to them. And don't be afraid to follow anybody off of here when they give their social media. Like I said, we're truly grateful for everything. I feel so privileged to be able to have people listen to me. You know, I'm just born and raised here in West Phoenix, not West Philadelphia, but West Phoenix. And grew, you know, moved a lot. And I didn't ever really have like a solid friend group because I moved too much. So I really learned how to like go into different spaces and not be seen because it was kind of like a survival thing. It was good to not be seen and not be heard because you didn't want to attract unwanted attention because it'd be easy target because you're new. So I don't know. I just always wanted to do something with myself, and I want to thank you guys for allowing me to do that. And I also want to thank my podcast partner / husband for doing it with me because I was too scared to do it alone.
Yeah, we did it together. Just like we jumped in feet first together.
Oh man, there's so many bad things on this episode. But,
why was this so bad about that?
No, it's not you, it's me.
No, it's not at all. And you know, I would really like to thank, I'm sure, for Drea as well, all the guests that we did have and all the people we interviewed for giving us your time. We always talk about time and how important it is. And, you know, thank you for giving us your time. And for anybody who's listening, thank you sincerely for giving us, you know, your ear for however much time it is. It's been a year and we're going to keep on keeping on.
Yeah. And I just want to say one of the things I do hope to incorporate, and I did touch base on it, is the Ken's Corner, basically.
Yes. Ken will be on. We're going to probably try to get Ken on within the next couple of weeks, if not in live with us, at least through Skype. Skype is something we talked about. I actually finally got Skype working. It was a freaking literal nightmare, but I got it to work. So hopefully Ken will be back on with us. He really wants to talk about our previous episodes. So we're going to be probably just diving into that with him for a couple hours.
Yeah, and Ken really is one of those people. He has so much going on. Blanca said that Ken's like Superman, and I agree. And Ken is just, like I said, he's just such a good person, and he definitely does his job. And when he has events and he promos himself, like he should, but he also is super big on promoting other people. And I just want to say thank you to Ken for that. Not even just for us, just I've learned stuff from you. I've picked up stuff from you, you know? So thank you so much, for that, Ken. And I'm sure, see you soon. We'll be hearing from you soon. And our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning Podcast. Our email is justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to us on, which we haven't discussed, actually, iTunes is going away. But you can, for now, I'm sure you can still find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, CastBox, Last.fm, Deezer. Anywhere
podcasts are found.
Anywhere podcasts are found. That's right.
Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Talk to us. Let us know how you're liking the podcast. Please rate and review on any site.
Subscribe,
rate, and review on any of the sites that you listen to. iTunes is the number one, so if you guys can drop us a quick review, you don't need to say anything. Just say how awesome we are, and that'd be cool too.
You can even just put nice, awesome, good, better than mediocre. I would be happy with that.
We would really love for you to say best music podcast ever, but you know... out of Arizona, we can definitely say the best music podcast about records out of Arizona right now. Because even if there's another one, we're not aware. Well, we're aware of different ones, but we don't know if they're exactly like us, but we're pretty sure they are.
Yes. So like we said, thank you so much to every listener for every like, every comment, every DM, every email, every amount of feedback, whether it's criticism or positive things that we get. We really appreciate everything, and don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks.